The vast majority of us suppose that we have at least another day of life. When the average person wakes up in the morning, he knows that death will come someday. I mean, the evidence of that is all around us. We know that death occurs. But we always assume, we always have something in our mind that says, you know, it'll happen someday in the future for me. You know, he might think it's possible for me to die today. But in reality, he doesn't think I might die today. He doesn't think it through like that. I know myself that I don't think it through like that oftentimes. I don't naturally wake up in the morning thinking, this might be my last day. This actually might be my last day. We often don't think of it like that. We take life for granted. We assume that although death will come at some time, yet it's something in the distance. It's something for the future. It's something a long way off. Something to think about another day. We're so busy with life and all that goes along with life that we put off death. We put off the reality that death can strike at any moment. I suppose the fact that we assume our continuation of life, it's rooted in a sort of pride. We think I'm unsinkable, as it were. I'm indestructible. I will not die today. It's something for the future. I'm going to be okay today. You know, the verse before us is a verse which tackles such pride. It's a verse which reminds us, as we consider it, that we walk on the very precipice of destruction every day. Right on the very edge, as it were. Right on the very brink of falling. Every day, every moment. We assume our life today to be guaranteed. But this verse reminds us that our life is a constant walk in slippery places. At any moment, the feet may go. At any moment, what seemed to be guaranteed life is ripped away as we fall in death. As we read those words in the verse 35, just in the middle of portion, we read, "Their foot shall slide in due time." Their foot shall slide in due time. And there we have a picture painted for us, I believe. And I want to try and elaborate on the picture myself. And suppose we have a man walking in the mountains. On this particular route, he's walking along the steep slope in the heights of the mountainous region. As he walks, I'm sure he enjoys the view. He's glad to be at such a height. He can look down at the farms and the houses and the people round about far below him. And I suppose he might have a form of pride in his achievement. I've managed to make it all the way up here. I've done well. My walk has gone well today. He's up there enjoying the scenery. Things are good. But what he doesn't realise, this mountain walker, this hiker, is that the ground beneath his feet is loose. Pebbles from beneath his shoes trickle down the side of the mountain as he steps, those pebbles picking up speed as they fall. There he is in the mountain. So confident, perhaps a well-used hiker, he does it all the time perhaps, so confident, and yet there he is walking in slippery places. At any moment, the ground may slide from beneath his feet, and his weight will take him down. Any moment, his feet can go, and like those pebbles, he will plummet down the mountain, gaining speed to a certain death. This, I say, is a picture for the pride of man, which says, I shall not die but live, I have life for today, death is something for the future. Yes, you may walk in the enjoyments of life today, but be sure of this, life is a constant walk in slippery places. One step, and your foot may slide, bringing you destruction. I want to consider with you this concept of the sinner's sliding foot. The sliding foot. Can I suggest, first of all, from the text and from the passage before us, that your foot will slide as a consequence of your sin. Your foot will slide as a consequence of your sin. Let's be clear about the matter. The reason that man faces danger, the reason that you face danger tonight if you're not saved, is because you've gotten yourself into trouble. If you think about our picture of the hiker, there he is, walking in slippery places on the steep side of the mountain. You can see the loose terrain as he walks. You can see that this man is in great danger. One wrong step and his foot will go down and his body will follow. He'll plummet down that mountain. But the question is, how is the hiker in trouble? Why is he now in danger? Well, he's in danger because he chose to walk in that area. That morning he got up, perhaps, and he chose to walk that way in the mountains. On his walk in the mountains, he chose to take that path across the slippery place. He chose it. He's in danger because he chose to walk that way. The fact that he is in slippery places, in great danger, is entirely his own fault. Now, this warning, "Their foot shall slide in due time," is a warning concerning the judgment of the Lord. And I suppose we're applying it tonight as a warning of the judgment which comes against sinful men. But I want to bring with it those words which preface it in the verse 35, the words which come before, where we read the Lord saying, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense." Now those words remind us that this slide which we are now considering is ultimately our own fault. You see, the Lord speaks here that he will take vengeance and recompense upon the sinful man. Those two words have the idea of repaying or revenging. And the idea is that because of what has already been done against the Lord will repay in vengeance. If you remain in your sin, the Lord will cause your feet to slide. He will judge you. And he will not do it because he's a cruel God. He'll not do it because there's some streak of cruelty in him that would cause him to just be nasty to people and to cast them into hell for no good reason. He will do it because by your sins, it is what you rightfully deserve. Just as the hiker of our picture makes a conscious decision to walk in those slippery places, to walk in that area of the mountain, the same is true of us. Many times over, how often you and I have taken the decision to walk on dangerous ground. We have chosen to walk the path of sin. We have chosen to walk in slippery places. The principal characteristic of an unsaved man's life, an unsaved individual's life, is sin. You walk in the way of sin. Day by day, you make sinful decisions. Day after day, you reject the Lord's way and you turn your own way. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." The truth of Scripture is that in turning from our God, we choose to walk the path of death. It was the path of death which Adam and Eve chose when they took that forbidden fruit in the garden. God had told them, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He had told them the consequences of it. And yet, knowing those consequences, they took the fruit. They chose the way, the path of death. And the Lord gives the same warning to you and to me. He said in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." God's word teaches us that the wages of sin is death. And when we sin, when we turn from God's way, as we do all the time by our nature, when we sin, we are choosing to walk that slippery path, that deadly path that leads to destruction. You choose to walk that dangerous path when you turn against God's law. When you hold other things in higher esteem than the Lord, you choose that path. When you use the Lord's name in a blasphemous way, you choose that path. When you treat the Sabbath day like any other day of the week, you choose that path. When you harbour hatred or envy or lust in your heart, you're choosing to walk that deadly path. Can I suggest that even when you are carrying out the best of deeds, when you attend church services, when you give a tithe, when you support charity, or when you act as a good neighbour to your fellow man, yet you do so whilst rejecting Christ, you're choosing to walk that path, that slippery, deadly path that leads to destruction. We've all chosen that way. I know myself, I've sinned plenty of times against the Lord. You have to know it too. Your own conscience testifies against you. We sin day by day, and day by day, by nature, we choose to walk in those slippery, dangerous places. The truth is that every one of us in this building, every single one of us, without exception, deserves that our foot should slide. We have chosen the dangerous path. We have gotten ourselves into trouble. And therefore, we deserve the destruction that comes when suddenly our foot slides. Now, in light of that truth, consider the love of God to your soul. You have no right to salvation. You have no right to have any blessing from the Lord. You've spent your life in rebellion against Him, choosing to walk in that dangerous path. You deserve what is coming your way. Yet the Lord in mercy offers to pluck you from the brink of destruction, from those slippery places, and set your feet upon a rock, and set your feet upon Christ, a solid foundation, a place where you can rest secure and steadfast. Though you were an enemy, fully deserving of the vengeance and recompense of the Lord, as the text teaches us, yet Christ died so that you can be given eternal security. He died that you, if you call upon His name, will be saved. Guaranteed, will be saved. Romans 5 verse 8 says that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a truth it is that while we were plodding along on the path of sin, our fists raised, rejecting the Lord, rejecting everything of His, turning our back on the Lord of glory, the Holy One, yet Christ came into this world, lived a perfect life, died a horrendous death, that sinners rejecting Him could be saved, that you, who have spent your life in rebellion against the Lord, could be saved. Though your life has been spent ever choosing the path of sin that leads to death, yet Christ will give you the gift of eternal life if you will call upon His name. What hinders you from coming to the Saviour? What hinders you from coming and finding God's way of salvation? Notice, secondly, as we consider this text, that when your foot slides, it will bring you utter destruction. It will bring you utter destruction. The particular portion that we're reading says, their foot shall slide. And I want to emphasize that word, slide, alongside the statement which follows, the day of their calamity is at hand. The events that come to pass here, as the foot slides, bring calamity. When the foot slides, destruction follows. Think about that picture. It reminds us of the suddenness of this destruction. Think of it, the suddenness of this great destruction, this great calamity. Think about our hiker again. As he walks along the mountain slope, he perhaps feels that confidence. He's walked in mountain areas for many years, perhaps, and he's reasonably well experienced with these things. He feels confident. Things are well with him. He's perhaps thinking of what he's going to be doing that evening. He has no thought that any step could be his last. He has no notion of the destruction which he is about to face. He walks along confidently, but suddenly, the loose debris beneath his feet gives way. Suddenly, his foot slides. His body falls to the ground and begins to pick up the pace as he plummets down that hill. One second he had total confidence, thinking about perhaps what he was doing that evening. The next moment, his death was certain. It had come. It only took a second. It took a click of the fingers, and his foot had slid. Friends, we're in the same situation. I began in the introduction by commenting that we often assume tomorrow, and we assume that death is something for the distant future. We assume the years which lie ahead, and yet the reality is that one step can take us into God's eternity. One instant, and our plans are gone. One moment, and the foot slides. Suddenly, death comes. Do you remember Christ's parable of the rich farmer in Luke 12? That farmer had it all planned out. He said to himself, "Soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had his plans all made. The years ahead were planned out. He was going to take his ease. No notion of death. Yet God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. One moment that night, his foot slid, and he was lost in God's hell. Friend, be sure of this. The God whom you have spent your life offending, the God against whom you have continuously rebelled, holds your life in his hand. He gifts you the air that you breathe. He holds the beat of your heart. He has control over it all. Know this. Though you may have confidence, though you may think tomorrow to be guaranteed, the Lord can say to you, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, David had a right view of things when he said in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. Friend, any one step and your foot may suddenly slide. Any one step and you'll be gone in an instant. In light of such awful knowledge, would you not come humbly to the feet of the Saviour tonight? Would you not seek him for salvation? Would you not seek him and find a security in him which you cannot possess now? Because this destruction often comes suddenly, can I suggest that you cannot afford to delay? You cannot afford to leave Christ to some other day. You can't afford to do it, because one moment and the foot slides. The picture also reminds us of the severity of this destruction. As you think of the hiker again, suppose the moment has come when his foot slides. As his foot goes from beneath him, suddenly the weight of his body follows the foot, and the free fall down the mountainside begins. A moment ago he was confident, but now his body is tossed, has no hope. The destruction is certain and complete. He has no hope of attaining his ground again once that foot suddenly goes. And the picture is of the utter destruction faced by the sinner outside of Christ. If you remain outside of Christ, then one day your foot will slide, and you will find the outcome to be more severe than physical death of the hiker. In reality, your sin has you walking on the slippery slopes, not just where you can physically die, but it's as if those slopes are over the brink of hell. It's as if whenever your foot slides, the body will follow through, plummeting down the side of that mountain, as it were, into the pit of hell, into destruction. You'll fall not to a physical death, but a fall into the caverns of the damned, where there is darkness, where there is pain and torment, where you hear the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of the teeth. There in torments of your own, merited, remember, by your sin, you will remain for all of eternity. Everlasting death, ever conscious, always dying. When your foot slides, it will bring a severe, a complete destruction to you. Why will you risk such an end when Christ offers you life? Why will you risk such an absolute destruction, an absolute final death, an eternal death, when Christ offers you eternal life? Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whilst you deserve death, whilst you deserve eternal hell, yet the gift of God offered to you today is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Take of Christ, take the gift, and be saved. Be saved. One last thing which we'll mention concerning this destruction is that it is an irretrievable destruction. In the case of the hiker, when his foot goes, when the fall commences, there's nothing he can do about it. There's no way for him to turn around and get back up that hill. He's in free fall. He's falling, plummeting down the side of that mountain, and there's nothing he can do about it. Yes, before that fall occurred, he could have turned back. Before he actually slipped, he could have turned back. But now that the foot has slipped, he has no hope. He has no way of stopping himself on that descent. He has no way of redeeming the situation. Hope is gone. Doom is certain. Friend, when your foot slides suddenly in God's appointed time, you will then have no hope. No hope. There will be no opportunity for repentance after that time. Yes, today Christ offers you salvation. You have an opportunity now before the foot slides that you can turn to Christ and be saved. But when that time comes, no hope. No hope for you. Would you not come to Christ now, before it's too late? Before his mercy is gone, before the foot finally slides and you fall into destruction? Come to Christ today while he still offers you salvation. Finally, notice that the foot will slide. And here's a key point. It will slide at the appointed time of the Lord. Your foot will slide at the appointed time of the Lord. Notice the words of the text. Now, if we take the whole thing together, their foot shall slide in due time. Their foot shall slide. When will it occur? In due time. The Lord's word comes to a sinful people in this passage, reminding them that whilst they continue in the pride of their sins, raising their fist against their God, yet he has an appointed time for their judgment, for their punishment to come. There is a specific and definite time set for the vengeance of the Lord. There is a definite time established when the foot of the stubborn sinner slides. Friend, can I point out to you that though you may continue on in confidence, supposing that you will never fall, yet the Lord has an appointed time when your foot shall slide. Hebrews 9:27 teaches that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And can I suggest to you that not only has the Lord is the fact that men die appointed, not only is the fact that the Lord has appointed that men die, but the Lord has also appointed not only that men generally die, but also the very moment that individual men, women, and yes, even sometimes children die. I don't know when your time is. I don't know when your foot will slide. I don't know when it will come to me. I don't know when it will come to you. Neither do you. But God knows. He has an appointed time. He has a time appointed for your end. Does it not make you tremble that your end, your death, your destruction rests in the hands of one whom you have spent your life offending? Day by day we sin against the Lord. We grieve him. We offend him. We turn our back on him and rebel against him. We raise the fist in anger against him. And he's the one who holds the very moment of our death in his hand. He's the one who holds the moment of our destruction in his hand. He has appointed it. Why do you continue to reject Christ and to risk his wrath? You should notice that the very fact that your foot will slide only in God's appointed time, it implies that the only reason that your foot has not slidden already is because you're held back so far. It's because you're yet held by a strand of God's mercy. The fact that you have not slidden already, the fact that you have not faced this end already, is only because the mercy of God continues with you thus far. You see, the picture in reality for you is this. By your sin, you walk in slippery places. You're walking on loose ground, on the brink of falling at every moment. Your path goes along the loose ground, directly, as it were, above the pit of hell. One slip of your feet, and you will fall to your doom. At every step, even the weight of your body would drag you down. Everything within yourself would cause you to plummet into the abyss. Yet you're held up for a time, for a short season, by, as it were, a rope. The rope is tightly fastened around you, and the only thing keeping you from falling, the one holding the other end of that rope, we'll call it, is the Lord God, the Holy One. By your actions, moment by moment, you anger him. Moment by moment, and even continuing to reject Christ, the well-beloved Son, you anger him. You anger the one who restrains you from falling. Moment by moment, you sin against the one who holds you up. The only thing keeping you out of hell tonight, if you're outside of Christ, is not your health, is not any life still in you. The only thing keeping you out of hell tonight is the long suffering of the Lord. Though you despise him in your rejection of Christ, yet he remains patient with you. But be warned, the patience of God does have an ending, for he has a due time when your foot shall slide. The due time of the Lord comes. His mercy is finally withheld. The rope, as it were, is released from his care. And your very weight causes your foot to slide down that slippery slope. Friend, you walk on dangerous ground tonight. Do not despise the God of mercy who for now holds you up. Come to Christ. Make no delay. Cease from angering the Holy One. Come and accept the gift of salvation. As I say, you walk in slippery places. You walk on dangerous ground. At any moment on the brink of falling into destruction. The Lord holds you up still. Don't despise that mercy. Don't abuse the mercy of God. Would you not call upon the name of Christ? Come to him for salvation, for he freely offers it, and you shall be saved. If you notice in the text, in verse 31, and just before our text, the Lord is even called the rock. For their rock is not as our rock. You know, that name of the Lord reminds us of the stability that we have when we come to Christ. The resting place, the solid ground that we have. For those of us who are saved, if you're saved tonight, you have no need to fear of the slippery places. You've been lifted from off of them. Your feet have been set on solid ground, set secure in Christ. Come to Christ tonight. Have your feet lifted from off the slippery slope, from off the dangerous ground. And you have no need to fear that your foot shall slide, for you will be on the solid ground of Christ. Psalm 121, verse 3 says of the Lord's people, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And what a picture that is for us as we've considered the fact that we deserve our feet to slide. We deserve, even those of us who are saved in this place, deserve our feet to slide, taking us into hell. But he that keeps us, he will not suffer thy feet to be moved, we read. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Our feet are secure, standing upon the rock, for we rest in Christ. Do you rest in Christ tonight? Do you stand in him? Do you stand upon him, the solid ground? Or are you in slippery places? Be warned, for God says their foot shall slide in due time. May God bless his word to each one. Down that steep slope like a